On January 1st, Minnesota became the first state in the Union to ban cleaning products containing a common antibacterial agent called triclosan. Professor William Arnold is a distinguished professor with the University of Minnesota's Department of Civil, Environmental, and Geoengineering and has been studying the effects of triclosan on the environment. He joins us now by phone. Professor, welcome to the Roadhouse.
Thanks, Dick.
First of all, why don't you tell me if I pronounced it correctly and then what it is and where it's used?
Triclosan is the way we like to pronounce it, right. But there are various other possibilities. What is it
and where is it used in products, or how is it used in products?
So it's an antibacterial compound, so it does kill germs. It's a small organic molecule. It's been known about for about 40, 50 years at this point. And it's used in all sorts of household products, the most common ones being liquid hand soaps that are labeled as antibacterial, or liquid dishwashing soaps that are labeled antibacterial. But it's been infused into plastics. It's an anti-gingivitis toothpaste. It's in acne creams. It's used all over the place.
So it's been used for 40 to 50 years. Why hasn't it been regulated before?
Well, interestingly enough, there's actually only one FDA-approved use for it, and that's the anti-gingivitis toothpaste. And
really?
I think it never got regulated because nobody asked FDA to do it.
Huh. Well, doesn't FDA initiate things like that on its own?
They're supposed to, but I think they're overwhelmed. And so yeah. I think they offered a temporary permit in the 70s, and it was never looked at again.
Well, you know, we often hear about chemicals that we use appearing in the environment, and I know from reading the material on you that you've done at least two fairly large studies regarding the appearance of triclosan in freshwater lakes and rivers. What did you find in your studies?
So we looked at seven different lakes in Minnesota, and we've actually looked at San Francisco Bay as well. And we found that the triclosan that's used in household products goes down the drain, a portion of it goes through the wastewater treatment plant, and it accumulates in the sediments of lakes and rivers.
And in what kind of quantities? I mean, was it alarming at all what you found, or is it?
We're talking nanograms, so billionths mm-hmm. of a gram of the compound per gram of sediment, mm-hmm. but considering none of it is supposed to be there, that's actually quite a lot, and it's comparable to other kind of pollutants that we're concerned about being in the environment.
When you say it shouldn't be there, it means it just doesn't occur there naturally, right?
Right. It's a purely synthetic compound.
But is it something that is supposed to be dealt with in sewage treatment plants?
Ideally, something like this would be completely removed, but sewage treatment plants are really designed to do two things, to remove carbon and to remove nitrogen, which is essentially our urine and feces. And any kind of trace chemical removal is happenstance, right? It might occur, but it might not, but the wastewater treatment plants aren't designed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so there's all sorts of chemicals that make it through wastewater treatment plants that we use.
Okay, there's also been studies on finding triclosan in humans. I don't
Correct.
Know if you've done any of those studies, but could you comment on that?
So those are not studies that I've done, but they've been widely publicized at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, if you use triclosan on your body in any way, it diffuses through your skin and winds up in your bloodstream, and your body excretes it through the urine. And so it's one of those cases where it's a chemical that people use because they think it's probably staying outside their body, right, and killing the germs on their hands, but it actually gets inside their body. And I think the studies have shown that like something like 75% of Americans have triclosan in their body.
That's men, women, and children?
Yes.
Okay. Is that something that's of concern at this point? Is there evidence of potential harm to humans?
There are potential concerns there because there have been studies that suggest that triclosan might be a hormone disruptor.
Mm-hmm.
Those studies aren't fully conclusive yet, and they're beyond my realm of expertise.
What about, we seem to be trying to make our world as antiseptic as possible by killing all the bacteria. And the bacteria don't necessarily like that, as I understand it, and they become resistant to our efforts. Is that any of that happening as a result of using triclosan?
There's certainly concerns there as well. Triclosan is, the way it acts is really by gross membrane disruption, so it bursts the bacterial walls, but at low concentrations there are mechanisms that bacteria can become resistant. And there's a group out of Chicago that's shown that downstream wastewater treatment plants, they see bacteria with elevated levels of resistance to triclosan. So it's one of those chemicals in the big soup of them that can potentially alter bacterial populations.
I saw some reference also to some disruption of immune system in humans.
Yeah, and that's beyond my expertise, but there's it's been a heavily studied chemical, and it's, since it's biologically active, there's all sorts of possibilities out there.
But I gather the potential for these types of harm is the reason we want to get rid of it from the water and our products.
True. And for Minnesota, one of the reason that we acted here was kind of twofold. One is that our work found that triclosan and other related chemicals that form when triclosan enters the environment were accumulating in lakes and rivers. And there was concern that those chemicals couldn't be there and they might have effects in the environment. And then there were also the public health concerns that were raised as well, and that combination led to Minnesota taking action.
The effects on the environment would mean effects on fish or water.
Yeah, or even organisms. Something as simple as the algae in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And we think of, you know, down here in the Twin Cities, right, the lakes turn green in the summer because of too much algae. And so we think getting rid of algae might be a good thing. But algae, of course, are also the base of the food chain. And so if you disrupt the algal populations, you can have effects that are wide-ranging.
Mm-hmm. What about, you just mentioned, I think, that there are derivatives from not just triclosan, but other compounds that result from...
Yeah, and so when wastewater is disinfected, chlorine atoms can get added onto the triclosan structure. And so then you get new compounds that we don't know their biological activity nearly as well as we do triclosan that are formed. And then one of the other things we found is that when triclosan and these other compounds are exposed to sunlight, they can form a set of compounds known as dioxins. And dioxins are a large class of toxic compounds. And there are four specific dioxins that we found that triclosan forms. And compared to other ones, the most toxic forms of dioxin are, you know, 10 to 100,000 times more toxic than the ones that come from triclosan. But even these trace amounts of these dioxins that form from triclosan are, again, synthetic chemicals that shouldn't be in the environment that are potentially problematic.
Yeah, dioxin, I remember hearing about years and years ago in Agent Orange and things like that, and that's a deadly stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, so there are 209 different dioxins, actually, and so... Mm-hmm. The Agent Orange one is the most potent one, and these ones are much less toxic than that, but still they're chemicals that of that class, and so they're concerning when they accumulate in the environment.
All right, I want to remind our listeners, it's now 6 o'clock. You're listening to North Shore Community Radio, broadcasting at 90.7 WTIP Grand Marais, 90.1 WGPO Grand Portage, 89.1 WKEK Gunflint Lake, and on the web at WTIP.org. And I am Dick Swanson on the Roadhouse here, and we're speaking now with Professor William Arnold, who is with the University of Minnesota's Department of Civil, Environmental, and Geoengineering, and talking to us about what he has found and studies of the effects of a product called or a chemical called triclosan on the environment. And triclosan is found in, you mentioned, I got jumped ahead of myself. I wanted to ask you first, are there ways to remove it from the water now that it's there?
There are ways to do it. And, so in the environment or in...
Yeah. Yeah, in the environment.
Once it's there, you've just kind of got to wait for it to go away.
Okay. And the environment does cleanse itself over a period of time, I gather.
Yeah.
I mean, the waters.
But, I mean, we pulled sediment cores out from the lakes, and we can very clearly see that triclosan was invented in 1960, and we don't see any triclosan in the sediment cores before 1960. And we can see it after that. So once it's down in the lake bottom, it's there. We do know that biologically, in, when sunlight shines on it, it will go away. But once you're down in the dark, deep, cold there, the sediment, it will stay. But new sediment always deposits. And so if we stop putting it in the environment, we'll, you know, it will get slowly get buried further down.
And this new law in Minnesota that went into effect on January 1st, what's the scope of the law?
So the law bans the sale of triclosan-containing products basically to consumers. So body washes, soaps, dishwashing liquids, and the like. So you can't go into Target or the grocery store and get triclosan-containing products anymore, except for anti-gingivitis toothpaste.
Explain why that's valuable to have that product.
Oh, that product has been approved by the FDA to help for people who have gingivitis, and so there's an exception in the law for any FDA approved uses.
So this would be if you're buying toothpaste with triclosan, you should only buy it if you have gingivitis. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Okay, who enforces this now?
That is an excellent question. Retailers are aware of this, and even last year, Target had asked their suppliers not to provide them with triclosan-containing products. And so I think actually the manufacturers are largely responsible for knowing that it's not allowed.
Sure.
And then the FDA ruling last year, Minnesota's first, but by the end of this year, these products won't be allowed. Triclosan won't be allowed in these products nationwide.
And the FDA regulation is similar, that it's these antibacterial cleaning products?
Exactly.
What other products will it still be in?
That is a good question. I think there are possibilities for, like, surgical scrubs or, in medical uses where it could still be available.
Yeah, I read somewhere in this material that it's in toys. It can be in toys.
So triclosan can be infused into plastics as well. It's unclear if that provides any benefit, and I think the FDA ruling might also affect those uses as well, but I'm not sure.
Okay, why did Minnesota act now if the FDA is going to do it in a year?
So Minnesota actually acted almost 2 years ago. So I think it was 2014 where the law was passed. And they just allowed some time before it went into effect to allow retailers and manufacturers to adjust to the law.
And I suppose of any states, we're the most proud of our waters. So I suppose protecting the waters makes us want to get ahead of the game on this.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of it, realizing that, you know, we have the Legacy Amendment and various other things in the state that are about improving water quality and keeping the water clean. And it was felt this was a chemical that we were really using by choice and not by need. And that since it was accumulating in the environment, it was one we could say we don't want to use anymore.
Are there examples of other countries taking action against this product?
To some extent, yes. I know the European Union has put some restrictions on the use of triclosan. I'm not sure how wide-ranging those are. And when the FDA and the Minnesota bans were going into effect this year, I've seen news reports from Australia and some other countries, or opinion pieces suggesting that countries should look at doing similar things.
Will there be any negative effects from depriving producers of the use of triclosan?
There shouldn't be, because for a lot of these products, you already have the option of buying them with or without triclosan. And so you'll still be able to get liquid dish soap and liquid hand soap, and soap itself kills germs if you use it properly. And so there shouldn't be too much effect on the suppliers or on the users.
All right. It's the antibacterial soap isn't going to be any less antibacterial if you remove triclosan, because you got other things, ways to deal with it.
Exactly. The soap itself is antibacterial.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, why do they try to enhance soap?
My opinion there is that it's marketing.
Ah, okay. Triclosan sounds valuable. Sounds worth having in your soap, if possible.
Or if your soap is labeled as antibacterial, you might think that it's better.
Yeah, yeah. Kills them faster, something like that. Okay, what about what other chemicals out there are similarly regulated, and what are others that might be added in the future? I mean, I gather you are perhaps familiar with other environmental pollutants that are similar to this, and how it's working to try to regulate them.
Yeah, and so the FDA ruling that happened in September covered 19 different chemicals. So triclosan was the one people were most familiar with. The other one that was in that list was something called triclocarban, which is a similar chemical, but it's usually used in bar soaps instead of liquid soaps. And then there's a huge range of antibacterial compounds that were added as to soaps or other products to give them this quality. But the FDA asked for information about their effectiveness. They weren't satisfied with the answers they got, and they've given until the end of the year for them to be pulled.
Did you did your study look at any of those other chemicals?
No, we just looked at triclosan, and that was hard enough.
Do you expect that there will be other further studies, either of triclosan or some other suspicious substance?
We're always looking at different substances, and sometimes we find that there's not a whole lot to be concerned about, and sometimes we find things that are rather concerning. And it's not just us doing this, but various environmental chemists across the country. And part of this is there's always new products coming to market. And before they come to market, they certainly their environmental fate has to be studied. But sometimes we find things that aren't expected.
Are there things on your list right now that you're concerned about in your future studies?
I have a study going right now that we're trying to, we should be wrapping up relatively soon, where we've been looking at antibiotics in general. Mm-hmm. And obviously antibiotics aren't a chemical we're going to get rid of, right? They're very important to medicine. But we want to understand how much is getting out into the environment, if there are any potential effects. Do we need to improve treatment? Do we need to think about which antibiotics we're prescribing when? And so we're looking at levels in various lakes and rivers in Minnesota. And actually, the Minnesota Department of Health has a pretty big cooperative that's kind of looking at antibiotic use in general in Minnesota because of their importance.
Well, it's certainly an interesting subject, and I'm glad you're studying it, and I'm glad we're doing something about these sorts of things. Is there a website or a place you recommend people go if they want more information about triclosan particularly?
At this point, there's so much information out there, probably the easiest punch it into Google.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's the FDA. I found the FDA's pretty good information, too. I think the Mayo Clinic had some information.
Yep, and even the Minnesota Department of Health has information as well.
I wonder, Professor, is there anything you would like to add to our conversation?
I think the big thing is that whenever you're buying a product in the store, it's always important to read the label and know what's in the products you're buying and realize that anything you put down the drain has the potential to wind up in the environment eventually.
So, yeah, I suppose things we use on our body that, you know, will wash off in a shower or whatever are the most likely to wind up in the environment as opposed to things we throw in a landfill.
Right, and actually anything you put into your body is likely to come out, too.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good point. Well, Professor William Arnold, I appreciate very much your taking the time to enlighten us on this important subject, and good luck with your future studies. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.